Radio Prague News.
Deputy Michal Bohanka has announced that he will resign from the Czech Parliament. The Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek has stated that he opposes plans put forward in the Lisbon Treaty to lower the number of EU commissioners by a third. And new figures reveal that the birth rate in the Czech Republic continues to rise. Deputy Michal Bohanka, who was elected to the lower house as a Social Democrat MP, but who later switched to being an independent, has stated that he will resign. Mr. Bohanka gained notoriety following the 2006 parliamentary elections, which essentially resulted in a stalemate. Along with fellow Social Democrat MP Miloš Melčák, he voted to give confidence to the opposition coalition government. The move earned the MP the label of defector, and Mr. Bohanka soon left the Social Democrat ranks. The move undoubtedly makes life somewhat more complicated for the governing coalition, as the Social Democrats are likely to appoint a replacement who they believe will vote along party lines. The stated reason for Mr. Bohanka's decision is to give space for the governing Civic Democrats and opposition Social Democrats to negotiate, particularly over the future of the Lisbon Treaty. The MP denied that political pressure had played a role in the decision. Many fellow MPs said that they were surprised by the resignation. The Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek has opposed plans put forward in the Lisbon Treaty to lower the number of EU commissioners by a third. Speaking ahead of a summit of EU leaders in Brussels, Mr. Topolánek stated that all EU states should have an EU commissioner. The comments were specifically made in response to alleged Irish demands that the country will get to keep its EU commissioner. Ireland and the Czech Republic currently stand alone in Europe as states that have not ratified the Lisbon Treaty. Speaking to the Czech news agency Čtyřka, the PM also stated that the tax sovereignty of the Czech Republic should be guaranteed. The Brussels meeting is designed to find a way forward following the Irish rejection of the Lisbon Treaty in a referendum earlier this year. New figures reveal that the birth rate in the Czech Republic continues to rise. According to a report released by the Czech Statistical Office, during the first three quarters of 2008, 91,300 children were born in the Czech Republic, a figure 4,900 higher than during the same period last year. Overall, the Czech population increased by 65,000 to 10.46 million in the third quarter, partly aided by around 51,400 immigrants who came to the country. So-called natural population growth brought 13,600 births in the first 9 months of 2008, a figure 4,800 higher than 2007 numbers, while infant mortality remains among the lowest in the world. The baby boom is likely to further assuage demographers who have for years warned that the Czech population may begin to shrink, causing, among other issues, problems for the state's ability to pay pensions to retirees. A day after the lower house passed the 2009 state budget, the country's finance minister, Miroslav Kalousek, has admitted that the deficit may be twice as high as that predicted. The budget passed by parliament, which factored in a deficit of 38.1 billion crowns and assumes a 4.8% GDP growth. However, a day later, Mr. Kalousek conceded that due to an economic slowdown expected next year, the state coffers may be short by tens of billions more crowns, while adding that the deficit could reach as high as 60 billion crowns. The Czech National Bank has repeatedly lowered its GDP forecast for 2009 as the effects of the global economic slowdown become more apparent in the Czech Republic. And now a quick look at the weather. Cloudy and cold weather is expected for the remainder of the week, with temperatures hovering around 5 degrees Celsius. I'm Dominic Yun, and that's the news for now.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the lower house of parliament has passed next year's state budget, but there may be complications yet. Critics are calling it unrealistic and misleading. We'll go over to New York, where a number of Czech box office hits have just made their debut. We'll offer you another edition of From the Archives, and later on in Panorama, Czech students get a lesson in the art of public speaking.
Well, the idea was to think of an event that would allow us to promote British parliamentary values and also to encourage the already very well-developed debating society in the Czech Republic.
All that and more coming your way, so do please stay with us. Despite its minority support in the lower house, the centre-right government on Wednesday pushed through the state budget for 2009, securing the votes of all five rebel deputies and overriding protests from the opposition Social Democrats and the Communists. This could be seen as a major victory for Prime Minister Topolánek's government, but there's a hitch. The budget, which operates with a deficit of some 38 billion crowns, or more than 1.9 billion US dollars, is based on a 4.8% economic growth forecast, which critics say is simply unrealistic. They claim that the deficit is inevitably going to be much higher. Jan Richter talked to analyst Jan Machacek from the Czech weekly Respekt and asked him if the Czech budget for 2009 really is as misleading as some critics suggest.
It certainly is a budget which is based on very old predictions of economic growth. The main skeleton of the budget was prepared during the spring before the MPs went for vacation. Then it was only a little bit tuned, so it's based on very old predictions and very old numbers. And in that respect, there is a chance that budget deficit in reality will be much, much bigger.
The government predicts that Czech economy's growth next year will be 4.8%, but according to most forecasts, it will only be around 2%. Why didn't the government come up with a more realistic estimate?
There are both political and professional reasons. One thing is that Czech government definitely underestimated the depth and scale of the financial crisis and its consequences. And it also has to do with the fact that there is no serious economist in this government coalition. There is no single economist in a portfolio of ministers. Plus, there was this very ideological and partially nationalistic attitude that crisis will not touch us because Czech crown will protect us. And third reason is that it was also partially a political manipulation, because before the elections, the government said that it will have to cut proportionally in every part of the budget, in every chapter of ministry. It will cause very serious political disruptions before the regional elections, which occurred a month ago. Finally, we saw the reputation of the government couldn't be worse before the regional elections, so it didn't help much in reality.
What will the consequences be if the deficit is going to be around 100 billion crowns rather than the estimated 38 billion?
Consequences will be quite simple. There are some rules for master criteria, so we will have to negotiate with the European Commission what will be the range, how much wider deficit of public finances Europe will permit us, because there is also a chapter which says that under emergency and very bleak predictions, there is a chance that deficit might be higher. But in reality, it would also mean that the government will have to cut proportionally in every chapter, probably postpone some expenditures. But paradoxically, it comes at the time when there is so much political talk about assistance to the economy in an environment of very slowed growth or even a recession. So these are two contradictory powers. One is that we will have to cut the budget to fulfill the criteria, and on the other hand, government will be under pressure to assist to the troubling economy. In reality, we can expect that the cuts will be a little bit lower than it under normal circumstances would have to be.
Analyst Jan Machacek from the Czech weekly Respekt there, speaking to Jan Richter about possible pitfalls in the 2009 state budget, which the lower house approved on Wednesday. Now let's pay a quick visit to New York, where a number of Czech films made their debut at the Brooklyn Academy of Music recently. The New York Cultural Institution's annual Czech film series is now in its ninth year and is the longest running series at the Academy. This year's roster of films included Bohdan Slama's The Country Teacher, Vladimir Michalek's of Parents and Children, and Jan Svirák's Empties. Kate Barrett has this report from New York, where she spoke with Czech directors and actors, as well as the co-curator of the series, Irena Kovářová.
So the series was pretty much in the same shape as it is now. It always has, you know, like 5 to 7 recent films. We wanted to bring filmmakers and actors to be able to speak with the audience to make it a little more special. Of course, we wanted as many New York premieres. We really want to show, you know, what's important in Czech Republic, what is shown there, but it's also what's also important on the festival circuit.
Ms. Kovářová attempts to bring as much new Czech film to the series as possible. She strives to see all of the feature films made in the Czech Republic each year, anywhere between 20 and 25, before making her final selection for New York.
What is very interesting is that actually we are presenting strong films by a very strong middle-aged generation. Unfortunately, already we have to call them middle-aged, of the former young Czech filmmakers. That was the generation that brought back the attention of foreign festivals and foreign distributors. In the history of the series is the fact that we've actually shown almost all the film of these people. So it's very interesting for the audience if they've ever gone here, you know, more than 1 or 2 years in a row, they can actually follow the careers of these people.
Vladimír Mihálek's film Of Parents and Children chronicles the relationship of a father and son, mainly through conversations they have while walking. Mariana Kroftová plays a starring role in the feature and surprised a New York audience when she described her background.
By my education, I'm a psychologist and special ed specialist, so I'm not an actress. This was coincidence. So that's my background. I work for a charity organization that supports children, and this just happened that I'm in this movie.
Ms. Kroftová explained how she got involved in Mr. Mihalek's project.
The director of the movie, he's seen a picture of me, of my eyes, actually. And he said, well, who's this woman? And, you know, the people told him who I am, and we, you know, got in touch. And I read the script, and I liked it, and I said yes. So it was a big risk from him, because he knew I'm not an actress, and he said, okay, let's risk it. I like you for the role. So complete coincidence, no auditions, nothing like that.
Director Bohdan Slama attended the New York premiere of his latest work, The Country Teacher. He took many audience questions and offered details into his writing and directing styles.
The script, I have a script, sure, but each scene has a lot of details. We were discussing with actors really half of year before shooting, discussing each scene and during the shooting, you know, because it was always like open process. And yeah, but it's normal, because when you are looking for what's the truth, you have to look for.
Film director Bohdan Slama talking about his latest film, The Country Teacher, and my thanks to Kate Barrett for that report from New York. Now, this being Thursday, it's time for David Vaughan to open up Czech Radio's archives for another fascinating report.
By the mid-1960s, political control over many aspects of cultural and social life in Czechoslovakia had relaxed considerably. This was the height of the new wave in Czechoslovak cinema. In theatre, socialist realism had long gone out of fashion. And in music, the swinging 60s were already well underway. But it wasn't just through the music it was playing that Czechoslovak radio tried to keep pace with the changes. One program that broke the traditional mold and was launched in 1966 was called The 33 Questions of Marcel Proust. These were questions that the French novelist had compiled in the belief that by answering them, you could better understand your inner self. In the program, a well-known personality would answer questions based on Proust's list. One of those invited was a gifted young writer, whose first plays had caused quite a stir at Prague's Theatre on the Balustrade. He was none other than Václav Havel, and here he is answering some of the questions as posed by the actor Josef Langmiller.
K jakým chybám jste nejschovývavější?
Which mistakes are you most willing to tolerate?
K těm, na které nedoplácejí druzí.
Those which others don't end up paying for.
Jakou barvu máte nejraději?
What's your favorite color?
Nevím, snad červenou.
I'm not sure, maybe red.
Jakou květinu?
Which flower?
Nezdá se mi, že jsme oprávněni hodnotit takto výtvory přírody.
I don't think we are entitled to evaluate natural objects in that way. Each flower knows why it's the color it is and not another color. Each one has its own beauty, and the meaning of that beauty is hidden to us.
Krásu svého vlastního nám neznámého smyslu.
Které ze zvířat a ptáků?
Which animals and birds?
No zde platí to též.
The same applies.
Vaše oblíbená jména.
Your favorite names?
Od dětství se mi líbí jména Eliška a Václav. To druhé ne proto, že je nosím, ale...
Since childhood I've liked the names Eliška and Václav. In the case of the second, it's not because it's my own name, but rather because Saint Václav has always been a favorite of mine.
Spíš asi proto, že mi vždycky býval svatý Václav sympatický.
Které prozaiky čtete nejraději?
Your favorite prose writers?
No, různé, například Kafku.
Well, there are several. Kafka, for example. So those were Václav Havel's answers. Some food for thought there for scholars of Havel's work, delivered in his familiarly gravelly tones. Another celebrated Czech writer who took part was the novelist Josef Škvorecký. He delivered his answers in deadpan tones, with a morbid sense of humour.
Co by pro vás bylo největším neštěstím?
What would be the worst thing that could happen to you?
Znova se narodit.
To be born again.
Čím byste chtěl být, kdybyste se znovu narodil?
What would you like to be if you were born again?
Nechtěl bych se znovu narodit.
I wouldn't like to be born again.
Vaše životní heslo?
Your motto in life?
Memento mori.
Memento mori.
Jak byste chtěl umřít?
How would you like to die?
Prenatálně.
Prenatally.
Kterým darem přírody byste chtěl být obdařen?
Which gift of nature would you like to possess?
Cynismem.
Cynicism.
Na čem právě teď pracujete?
What are you working on at the moment?
Právě nepracuji.
I'm not working.
Co vás k této práci přivedlo?
What led you to this work?
Příliš mnoho práce.
Too much work. So that was Josef Škvorecký. The series was immensely popular and ran for 2 years. 1 year after that, in August 1968, Warsaw Pact troops occupied Czechoslovakia. Václav Havel's plays were soon banned, and Josef Škvorecký fled to Canada, where he lives to this day.
My thanks to David Vaughan, and if you'd like to try answering some of those questions yourself, then you'll find a transcript of the program on radio.cz. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, where David Vaughan will focus on the present for a change in this week's edition of Panorama.
One thing that was not cultivated in communist Czechoslovakia was the art of public speaking. Anyone of a certain age will remember the endless monologues of party secretaries. But 20 years on, there is a growing awareness of the importance of public debate. Many young Czechs with an interest in politics have followed with fascination the political sparring that goes on in Britain's parliament. And with this in mind, the British Chamber of Commerce in Prague recently organised a debate, taking the British Parliament as its model. It was the brainchild of the Chamber's James de Candolle.
The idea was to think of an event that would allow us to promote British parliamentary values and also to encourage the already very well-developed debating society in the Czech Republic. It seems to me that public speaking skills in whatever language, but especially in English, are very, very valuable in future life for any student. So those were the two purposes, really.
Do you think that public speaking skills may be somewhat neglected in this country, in the Czech Republic, compared, for example, with the rich tradition of parliamentary debate in the United Kingdom, where you come from?
Well, yes, I thought so before we set about organizing this event. But having met the Charles University Debating Society and having discovered actually quite how much debating is going on, I think probably no, it's not neglected. I mean, maybe neglected by an older generation, but it's certainly not being neglected by the generation at university at the moment.
The debate involved two celebrity speakers, both from Britain, and two Czech students who had been chosen through previous rounds of debate. The students' performance was assessed by a panel of expert judges, including the Czech Euro MP Hynek Fajmon, and with the Czech Republic's Environment Minister, Martin Bursík, also joining in the discussion. James de Candolle told me what the debate was about.
We thought it would be useful to explore a risk of freedom theme. It seemed to us on the board of the chamber that that is a theme that everyone can have an opinion on, because it is so very broad. I think also it's very topical in this country because of the role that the president is playing. I mean, it's really quite exceptional that the president of a country takes such a strong and outspoken position on a political issue. The president's position on climate change and the president's position on the Lisbon Treaty actually overlap with each other, but both fundamentally concern the issue of risk, our aversion to risk, and risk of freedom issues.
And so the motion was?
The motion was, this House believes that the application of the precautionary principle to public policy making is harmful.
In layman's terms, the precautionary principle means the principle under which policymakers place themselves under a moral and political obligation to prove that their decisions will not have serious negative consequences for the public or the environment. Opponents to the idea, like President Klaus, argue that excessive caution leads to stagnation. Nothing risked, nothing gained. While proponents of the principle often point to our responsibility towards the environment. The first to argue for the motion, that is, against the precautionary principle, was a veteran British debater, the retired general and former chief inspector of prisons, Lord Ramsbottom, who portrayed the principle as a recipe for top-heavy bureaucracy.
If I want the demonstration of how that creeping legislation has increased in paperwork, I've only got to compare the fact that the Lord's Prayer, which I'm sure you all know, contains 71 well-chosen words. The Ten Commandments is 210 words. The American Declaration of Independence is 470 words. And the European Rules on the Export of Duck Eggs is 27,460 words.
Lord Ramsbottom was answered by the well-known campaigner for open democracy and champion of environmental causes, Paul Hilder.
As David Ramsbottom has said, it would be fantasy to imagine that all risk can or should be squeezed out of human life. But it would be even more foolish to jettison a policy tool which is essential to managing some of the greatest threats to our complex societies today. The first question I usually ask when considering the usefulness of any public policy tool is whether it's worked before. And happily, the precautionary principle has a respectable record in the two great global policy processes where it has been deployed most prominently. These are the Montreal Protocol to repair the hole in the ozone layer and the decades-long journey towards consensus for decisive action against catastrophic climate change.
That was Paul Hilder. Lord Ramsbottom's arguments were backed up by Martin Dubezzi from the Masaryk University in Brno, and he was countered by his fellow student from the same university, Monika Hlavková. Here is a collage of the two in action.
What I believe should guide the public policy and what you should do if you are a government and you are actually responsible for the lives and for the safety and security of your own people, then it is not to be risky, but try to ensure the highest possible safety and highest possible level of security for your own citizens, because that is what we believe the primary role of a government. And I believe that this is particularly true in situations such as the possible harm to the environment or public health, which are irreversible effects.
We can never achieve a situation where no risk will be put upon us. There will be risk all the time. And what is the precautionary principle is doing is not solving the question of risk, but rather is saying that, okay, we will just substitute the risk.
The panel of judges then assessed the speaker's debating skills, and after about 20 minutes they returned and declared that they had come to a unanimous decision, that Lord Ramsbottom and Martin Dubetzi had argued the better case. But Euro MP Hinek Faimon also had words of praise for Monika Halavkova.
Monika is on good way to become good politician because she was very persuasive, which is, I think, the most important part of political quality. If you want to become politician, I think that you can be persuasive, and your speech was very good.
So after the debate, I asked both Monika and Martin if they saw a future for themselves in politics.
Well, until now I have not considered becoming a politician, but, you know, maybe you cannot tell what lies in front of you, yes.
Martin, are you considering a political career?
Oh no, please. No.
What do you plan to do in the future?
Well, I would like to work in a non-profit sector or maybe in a public sector, but not run for public office, please. I would not like to go through that.
As a prize, you're going to be taken to London, to Westminster, to see both houses of the British Parliament at work. You've seen it on television, you've seen the British Parliament functioning. What are your impressions?
What I like about the nature of the British Parliament is that there is a real exchange of argument, the two sides. We can see the clear confrontation of arguments during the Prime Minister questions, and maybe this is something different in the political systems of Central Europe.
I have a feeling that in Central Europe, the Czech Republic, that politicians sometimes tend to hide and not to confront their political opponents, and that is something pretty different in, for example, the Prime Minister's question, when you can really see that the opposition leader and the Prime Minister are having a very good argument on many issues and not hiding before it.
And finally, a couple of words from the two seasoned debaters, Paul Hilder and Lord Ramsbottom.
They were absolutely tremendous. I think Martin was robust and creative, and Monika just very, very sharp in her rebuttals. So I thought that these two young people, they'll go far, and they had a creativity and a critical intelligence, which really was world-class.
I think the liveliness, the interest, and the logic, the way they marshalled their points was, to me, something that's very exciting in people of that age and that involvement.
Lord Ramsbotham there, ending that edition of Panorama by David Vaughan. And I'm afraid that's all we have time for today, but before we go, I'd just like to point out that Radio Prague has launched a special Christmas competition, which entails filling in a crossword puzzle and possibly winning a Christmas CD. All the information is on our webpage at radio.cz, so do check it out. Should you like to contact us, the address to write to is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and goodbye.